My name is Julie Tai, and I am the Interim Chapel Director at Fuller Theological Seminary. Welcome to Fuller Studios' audio stream of sermons drawn from campus chapels and preachers throughout our extended community.
Good morning. Hear the word of the Lord from Luke 19, from verse 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass the way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be with the guests of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
I love this story. There's so many things that stand out to me about the story that I just thoroughly love. I think the first thing, as we have been preaching through Luke this year, there's so many of the themes of the book that are all encapsulated in this one story. First, this whole idea of seeing. And we've had many stories about blind men seeing and who sees. And even right before this story is another healing of a blind man who, even though physically he cannot see, he sees that Jesus is the Son of David and cries out for help and for mercy. I love it that it talks about Zacchaeus wanting to see Jesus, and yet it's Jesus who comes to the bottom of the tree and looks up and sees Zacchaeus there in the tree. I love this theme in the story about welcoming the outsider, and that's something as well that we have seen in so many different stories in the Gospel of Luke. But this time, what even makes this story particularly wonderful to me is once again, Jesus shakes up the story, does something that nobody's expecting, and this time the outsider is the rich guy. All throughout the book of Luke, the rich guy is the bad guy. And even in Luke 18, right before this, the chapter before this, is the story of the rich young ruler. And Jesus is saying that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. And the response of the disciples, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, what is impossible for human beings is possible for God. And then we get this story. But what I really love about this story is this risk-taking, boundary-crossing Jesus who calls Zacchaeus out of a tree. I must stay at your house tonight. Have you ever invited yourself to stay at someone's house that night? I must stay at your house tonight. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so part of why I so love this picture of Jesus as coming after and pursuing Zacchaeus, finding Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus was up in a tree, wanting to keep a rather polite distance and just kind of see who Jesus was. I can really relate to that. As a teenager, being mildly interested in some of my Christian friends and what they were doing in church and young life and youth group. But I totally would be like Zacchaeus up in a tree, just kind of observing from a polite distance. It makes me think of people that will sometimes describe their faith as private. I don't go to church. I don't subscribe to any doctrines. Really, my faith is very private. That's not the faith of the biblical Jesus, is it? There's nothing private about faith in Jesus. And even when people may try to keep something private, it's this risk-taking, boundary-crossing, socially inappropriate Jesus that says, get out of that tree. I'm coming over. I don't care what your house looks like. I don't care what we're eating. I must be with you tonight. I love that. Real love calls us out of our trees, doesn't it? Real love can be intrusive. Real love does not keep a polite distance. It's part of why I think marriage is so incredibly difficult. It's because when you become really intimate with another human being, you can't stay hidden anymore. And it's the same thing with real love from and with God. We can't keep a polite distance if we want to really love God. And Zacchaeus actually had some pretty good reasons for wanting to be up a tree, didn't he? It says that he was short of stature and wasn't able to see Jesus, and so that's why he climbed the sycamore tree. But what's really interesting is a lot of commentators say that what that phrase short in stature could mean is not necessarily about his height. It could also have to do with his social standing in that community. He was short on respect, wasn't he? He may have been short on integrity. He certainly was short on belonging. He was a chief tax collector, and Jericho was a wealthy city. And the chief tax collector actually took cuts from the other tax collectors. And so he was experienced by his own people as a traitor. One of the things I found most interesting in my study of this passage is that he was certainly seen by his people as a traitor, but the commentators disagree on whether or not Zacchaeus was actually a crook. The phrase when Zacchaeus comes down out of the tree after Jesus says, come down and I must be with you tonight, and what was read was the New Revised Standard Version says, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I have frauded anyone, I'll pay them back four times. But the Common English Bible actually takes that same verb. It's the only time this happens in the book of Luke, and it's translated in the present tense. I give half my belongings to the poor. And if I defraud anyone, I give four times over. So Zacchaeus may have actually been someone who was generous, someone who was giving, but the crowd didn't see him that way. He was labeled because of his occupation as a chief tax collector and immediately put in a category. And we don't know. We don't know which of those translations of the verb was accurate, but either way, Zacchaeus was an outsider. Being an outsider is something that I've been thinking about a lot, not just in terms of studying this passage and even in the other sermons on Luke this year, but this last weekend I had an amazing experience of going on a border pilgrimage that Lauren Grubaugh and Jennifer Guerra led, 9 other students, and we went down to Tijuana, Mexico. We went to first the border on the United States side, and it was unbelievable to me to experience what it felt like being on one side of the border and then going into Tijuana, Mexico, and seeing the border from the other side, from the Mexican side of the border. On the United States side of the border, it felt like a prison. There was a tall drone tower with huge lights and cameras. It was all bare concrete, and there were border patrol trucks and vans constantly patrolling. Even at one point, we were told to get off the sidewalk where we were standing, that we were too close to the fence. We weren't to be there. It felt oppressive. It felt cold. It felt lonely. When we traveled into Tijuana on the Tijuana side of the border, for any of you who have been there, it's unbelievable. It's full of art. The entire wall is a changing installation of people's expression of hope and pain and anger and grief and wishes. Big, huge words, empathy, were at the very top of the wall. Huge letters that said empathy. There were quotes by Maya Angelou and Jimi Hendrix about love and power. There were names of people who had died there. The part that hit me the hardest, though, was there was one mural that was all done by deported veterans, men and women who had served in United States uniforms and risked their life for this country and then had been deported to Mexico. There was a picture of the flag. And in the place of the stars were crosses, white crosses, where people, memorializing people that had died, even for their country. We thought and talked together as a group a lot about what it means to draw a line and say, you're not welcome here. You're illegal if you cross over this border and want to come live here. Questions like, does every human being have a right to migrate? Do we have a right to live where we want to live? What does it mean for us as Christian people who really believe that all of the earth is the Lord's? What about that citizenship we have as members of the body of Christ and when that comes into collision with our citizenship in a particular country? deep, deep questions about belonging and about borders. We sat on Saturday night, we had dinner in a place called Casa del Migrante in Tijuana, and we listened to stories of men that had been deported. This was a home, a shelter that was started by a Catholic priest for the 500 people every day that are deported and just literally dumped over the border of Tijuana, many of them highly traumatized. They don't have any money, and Casa del Migrante gives them a place to stay and to heal. We listened to a psychologist talk about what she does for the people there to try to help them reorient and figure out their next steps. But what I really feel about this text today is that what Jesus calls each one of us to look at, we are those people in the crowd. And whether the people in the crowd were calling Zacchaeus a crook and a criminal and a sinner just merely because he had the occupation of tax collector, or whether he really was one, we don't know that. But what we do know is that all of us do that. All of us erect borders and boundaries around people that we believe for some reason are not as worthy as we are for the love and the grace and the gifts of God. What's so interesting to me too, and again, what I love so much about Jesus is he shows us again and again and again in the Gospel of Luke, doesn't he? That what it means to follow him, what it means to be a follower of Jesus is to radically cross boundaries, to radically take risks in love, to extend that circle, to include people that would otherwise have been rejected. I'm learning a lot about this from my daughter who's in law school and wants to be a public defender. And I've talked with her a lot about those questions that people often ask public defenders. How could you defend someone who might be guilty? What if you even know they're guilty? How do you defend a person like that? And what I'm learning from her is that people that are public defenders believe that even a criminal has human rights. And even a criminal may not be defined only by the criminal act that they've committed. Many people commit crimes and acts of passion and acts of desperation. And what's deeply needed at that time is compassion and trying to help them have the best deal they could get in order to give them a new life as opposed to sending them to prison for 15 or 25 years. She's a person of great compassion who's helping me understand what it's like to stand next to someone, a person who's even been charged of some kind of heinous crime, child sexual abuse. So who are those people that are most difficult for you to love? As we face even a primary here in California, next week in election November, are you having trouble loving people who may be supporting a candidate that you don't like? Is it hard to imagine loving members of the body of Christ who are deeply conservative theologically? People that don't believe the same way you do about gay and lesbian issues in the church and ordination and rights. What is it that we do with people that we've decided are outside of our circle? Jesus says to the crowd, today salvation has come to this house. When he says to Zacchaeus, today I must stay with you. Today salvation has come to your house. Have you heard that word today in Luke at other times? Do you remember when it said today in the city of David? Remember when Jesus stands up in the synagogue and says, today the scripture is fulfilled? Or on the cross when he says, today you will be with me in paradise. That word today is a word that says, because Jesus is present, salvation is here. Today, Jesus is inviting us out of our trees. He's inviting us out of places where we hide, places where we haven't opened our hearts to God or to one another. And he invites us to this table of communion. We're called out of the tree and we're called to the table. What is impossible for human beings is possible for God. And we can only open our heart this wide and have the kind of communion that crosses borders because of what Jesus did. That Jesus laid down his life and made reconciliation with God possible so we can be filled with the love of God. That we can love people with the love and the forgiveness of God. So regardless of our denominations, our political positions, our races, our cultures, together we're going to come to this table and ask for forgiveness. And together we're going to come to this table and be fed the body and the blood of Christ so that we can go out into the world like Jesus and radically be socially inappropriate and invite and eat and have communion with people that many others would want to just leave to the margins and forget. So may we be inspired by the model of Jesus. May we be fed now with the very body and blood of Jesus to live this way as radical boundary crossers. Please pray with me. Loving and almighty God, we are so grateful that even as we are looking for you, kind of, you pursue us passionately. Thank you that for each and every one of us in different ways, you come to the bottom of the tree and you look up into our face and you say to us, get down out of that tree. I must be with you right now. You belong to me. I am yours and you are mine. Thank you, God, that your love leaps over walls, that your love tears down the dividing walls of hostility, that your love exposes those things in our lives that need to be exposed so that we can be free. Will you give us the courage, God, to not run away from you? Will you give us the courage to allow you to do that work in our lives of showing us the ways that we have set up boundaries and borders to keep you at a safe distance, to keep people that we don't agree with out of our intimate life so we don't have to deal with those questions, those feelings, that discomfort. God, as we come now to your table, we thank you. We give you great thanks that this table is called communion and that we all come together. We all need you. And that as we feed upon your body and your blood, you are making us whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a production of Fuller Studio. Fuller Studio provides articles, podcasts, videos, and other resources for a deeply formed spiritual life. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or visit us at fuller.edu/studio.